We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to Friday, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM or WWBC 1510 AM or the various frequencies that are simulcast throughout the county. We truly thank you for the privilege of bringing the Word of God to you. Thank you for supporting Christian radio. And we just pray that you are making preparation right now to gather with saints this weekend and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We always like to make the opportunity available to you for coming, if you do not have a home church, to come and worship with us at Merit Assembly of God. We make no pretense about our size. We're a smaller congregation, but we are not a small-minded congregation. We have a very, very large heart, very compassionate heart. We support a lot. We actually support more missionaries than we have people who attend our services. We want everyone that can to have the opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. On yesterday's program, I ran out of a little bit of time there at the end, but if you prayed that prayer with us yesterday and asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, if you would do us a favor and contact us via email or call us at 454-4263. Our email is meritassembly@hotmail.com, meritassembly@hotmail.com. Or you could contact us on Facebook, like us, and send us a message and say, hey, you know, I was one of those that prayed and asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins yesterday. If you would do that, we would love to send you some free material. We are not here. I'm not a televangelist. I have a face for radio. I'm not here for the fame. I'm just here to preach the Word of God and to teach it in a way that maybe will help one or two people come to faith in Jesus Christ. That's what we want, and we want to equip the body of Christ with the Word of God so that they can live in a righteous manner. And so if you prayed that prayer, we would love to send you some free materials. A few weeks ago, we sent out some free materials for those who wanted to be better equipped for soul winning. And so we're here to be a blessing, not to be a liability. So we want to thank you for tuning in. Also, if you do have prayer requests, occasionally we get prayer requests that come into us, and we're very diligent about praying for those and believing for miracles. So if you have a praise report, have an encouraging word, Let me tell you this. I had a person one time. They said, Pastor, I just wanted to let you know that message, this was a long time ago, said that message that you preached last week was absolutely wonderful, but I didn't want to come up and tell you that because I didn't want you to get an inflated ego or you know, get puffed up. And so, you know, I didn't tell you then, but I wanted to tell you right now. It was a really good message, and I said, you know, I appreciate that, but you never have to worry about my head becoming too inflated, because there's always enough things that I am told that I do wrong that it just kind of helps keep the balance and keeps me from running on a flat tire. And if it does get over a little inflated, I carry around a gold-plated thumbtack that I can just kind of poke the thing out. You know, they recently had a blimp that broke away, and I think the way they ended up bringing that down was they just kept shooting holes in it, and it eventually came back down to earth. And so if you, in fact, I read an article about a guy who had, this goes back a few years, but who had said, you know what, I'm bored. And so he put a bunch of helium-filled balloons, really large balloons, and he wrapped them up to a lawn chair, and he sat in the lawn chair with a BB gun, and all of a sudden he started ascending, and he got way up in the air, and air traffic control said, hey, we got a guy up here, you know, floating around with balloons and a lawn chair, and you know, he ended up having to shoot the balloons to get himself to come back down to earth and at a nice controlled. And, you know, he went on to be a motivational speaker, and he, all of that simply because he got bored one afternoon and said, I wonder if this would work. And I'm telling you, he's got more faith in a lawn chair than I've got. A 10,000 foot fall is quite a fall indeed. So, I want you to know that I've got enough issues going on in my world that, I'm not thinking I'm all that. But if you've got a praise report and want to send it along, we would be very thankful to hear from you the word of encouragement. So we're in 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's go on and look at the word of God today. It says that verse number 9, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. On a weekend, the weekend can be a very, very temptation filled time, and I just want you to know that God knows how to deliver you. He can deliver you out of those temptations. There's a lot of people who get paid on Friday and they wake up broke on Saturday morning because they go out and they give in to temptation. They blow their resources on things that they shouldn't be blowing it on. And I encourage you, allow God to deliver you out of those temptations. He is very skilled at it. Yesterday we started into reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. We're going to begin to talk about now. We've been talking about deliverance. And what I want you to see as we go through this passage in 2 Peter chapter 2, and again, you could find very similar descriptions in Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter in Jude, so 25 verses there. But you're going to see some characteristics that they manifest in society on a daily basis. But even though they're manifesting these and they're reserved for judgment right now, that God is able to deliver them. This is a different type of deliverance. This is God saying, if you see these sorts of things going on, understand that they are not just personality quirks. Understand that they are not just a different sort of demeanor. They are things that we need deliverance from. And so, again, this is something we're going to talk about. Chapter 2 begins to describe these things. And so let's talk about them. Let's see if there's any of these things that go on in our world. And if God puts his finger on something by his Holy Spirit as we're teaching today, let's not make an excuse for it. Let's repent of it. What do you say? Let's dig into what it says here in verse number 10. And especially those who walk according to the flesh and the lust of uncleanness. Let's start there. There's two ways that we can walk in this world. We can either walk according to the Spirit or we can walk according to the lust of the flesh. My flesh wants to eat insatiable amounts of food. It just does. I like food. I'm a little overweight. I'm not massively overweight. Somebody told me recently at church, they said, you don't look anything at all like your voice sounds on the radio. And it's like, well, what does my voice's sound look like? And they said, you know, I kind of had you pictured as this tall, slender guy. And I was like, well, I'm not. I'm about between 5'8" and 5'9", and I run about 190 to 195 pounds. That's kind of my fluctuating range there. My hair, when I was a kid, it was really, really blonde, and then it kind of got dark, and now it's executive blonde in a lot of places. Didn't realize how much until I saw a picture that my wife has on her nightstand the other day, and it's like, wow, my hair is a lot lighter than it was then. And so the guy who styles my hair, he said, yeah, you got a little executive blonde going on up there. And it's like, well, I like that. I like that title. I'm not necessarily, my wife doesn't like the gray hair, but it's there anyway. There's two ways to walk. You can either walk according to the flesh and the lust of the flesh, or you can walk according to the spirit. And like I said, one of the things is I like food. The lust of the flesh, it will cause you to commit sexual activities that God does not want you to commit. It will cause you to avail yourself of opportunities that God is not ready for you to avail yourself of. See, the flesh is really great at rationalizing sin. And let me tell you, here I am speaking from past experience. I'm not speaking theoretically. I'm talking about the mental gymnastics. You know, Eve is not the only one that was ever deceived to the point that she embraced something that God did not want her to embrace. And like, once again, I'll remind you what John Brevere has said here. When Eve looked at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the part that enticed her was not the evil part, but she saw that it was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes. She saw the good part of it. She didn't see the evil part. And the next thing you know, she's partaking of it, and Adam and Eve are out of the garden, and society has been forever altered as a result of that. The devil will cause your mind to rationalize sin. He will show you the pleasant side of it. He will show you the desirable side of it. And the Bible even says that sin is pleasurable, but it only says it's pleasurable for a season. So I encourage you today, don't walk according to your flesh. Do not let your carnal nature, do not let your body dictate what's taking place in your life. Allow your spirit. You're made out of a body and a soul and a spirit, and there are distinctions between those things. So there's some crossover and some overlap, but God's word says that his word is able to discern between the soul and the spirit. I don't know what that fine line looks like. Sometimes we use those words interchangeably, and then there are other times that it means, it can mean some two entirely different things. The soul is the seat of the mind, the will, and the emotions. The spirit is the part of us that is going to live on forever. And we need that spiritual aspect to say, you know what? I am going to do what God says to do. I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God does not lead us for what is pleasurable to the flesh or convenient for the flesh, but something that requires discipline of the flesh. And it says that there may be times where you say, you know what, I need to focus so much on my spirit that I'm going to set aside, I'm going to fast food, or I'm going to fast other aspects because my spirit, I need to focus on that right now. And so that is a very, very important thing to do. Be led by the Spirit of God. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap of the Spirit. If you sow to the flesh, you are going to reap corruption. You are going to reap misery. You are going to reap pain and devastation and brokenness like you've never... Being led by the flesh does not have any good outcome. There's, I can't tell you how many times I've heard through the years, I never thought it could happen to me. And then there's the, whenever the fruit of being walking according to the flesh and the lust of uncleanness, whenever that fruit begins to manifest, then there's the cover up, there's the disguising, there's the pain of it. And you know, I just hate, you know, the one of the things about Watergate was the cover up made things worse than the actual crime. The actual crime was just a simple break in. That's what it was. It was the cover up that got worse. And so I encourage you today that if you've been walking according to the flesh and the lust of uncleanness, that there's cleansing available through the blood of Jesus Christ. At Merit Assembly of God, we still believe in the effectiveness of the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't believe that it's lost its power. There are some people that don't like to talk about, you know, about the blood, which is kind of ironic, because whenever you look at Hollywood movies and those people who are opposed to talking about the blood of Jesus would also, for a large percentage, be ones who embrace the gore of what's going on in Hollywood, and the gorification and the overdosing of the shedding of blood. That's you know, I don't know how you come to grips with that. I just know that Jesus shed his blood to make me clean and to make me whole. And I ask you, is there anybody out there who just really enjoys, you know, I'm reading here out of the New King James Version. It talks about uncleanness. Does anybody like fellowship with stuff that is filthy? Do you know that if a hospital treats somebody with an instrument that is unclean, you know what happens? That person gets infected, and then there's a lawsuit that takes place, and to even some extent, it can alter people. There have been people who've been infected with a disease that there's no cure for because of uncleanness. Uncleanness promotes nothing good. Nothing good. And, you know, some of the other things, you know, just from a practical standpoint, uncleanness will make you undesirable to be around. There is a statement I heard years ago, and it said, the lowest quality of life has the highest price tag. The lowest quality of life has the highest price tag, because there are some people who they want to be led by their flesh, and for some that means that they would rather have their alcohol than they would to have their family. They would rather have their drugs than they would to have their finances. They would rather have you fill in the blank there than they would to have health in their body. They would rather have their job than they would to have joy. And so there's all sorts of things that people chase after, but at the end of the day, it leaves them paying a price that they don't want to pay. You know, everybody says, well, if you've got money, that's the ultimate. You'll be able to really be happy. And if that's the case, I want you to look at the headlines coming out of Hollywood and ask yourself, how many of those people really demonstrate happiness? I'm not talking about the toothy grin that they can flash on the red carpet. I'm talking about they take that photograph there, and then the next couple of weeks you read about all of the devastation that is taking place in their life, because money can't buy happiness and fame can't buy happiness. And so all of that stuff of trying to keep up with the appearances, and yet there's sickness and uncleanness of unhealthy aspects of their life, and it continues to rot at them from the inside out. Don't pay that price. CEOs who make millions and millions and in some cases tens of millions of dollars a year, or hundreds of million dollars a year. I heard a person recently made $70 million in one day. And yet many of those people, they by the time they get to that place, their family has fallen apart. They, you know, you think of people from the headlines in the past who on the surface, it looked like everything was clean. Everything was just the American dream. But on in their spirit, there was uncleanness. And eventually that stuff is going to come to the surface. You know, when God brings issues out of our heart and out of our lives, when he brings those to the surface, it is not because he hates us that he's doing that. It is because he loves us. It's because he loves us. I read a news story here several weeks ago. Don't remember exactly how long it was. Couldn't tell you exactly what state it was in or anything like that. But there was a guy who was a surfer, and he got bit by a shark. And he tried to take it, you know, very casually. You know, it wasn't necessarily a life-threatening bite. It was, you know, so he was going to try and take care of it himself the best that I can remember, and I might have that part wrong. But eventually, some friends of his talked him into going and getting that wound checked, because once you, if you have an open wound and you're out in the ocean, I want you to know that that water's not sanitary. there are all sorts of things going on. You know, you might feel like you're clean, but I challenge you, whenever I come home from the beach, there's a lot of beach that comes home with me, even though I didn't realize that it was there. There's sand and there's salt and who knows what kind of bacteria and all that. And so there are wounds that can really get, become in worse shape if they're open wounds. You got to get those taken care of. So they convinced this guy to go and get his wound treated out in the hospital. And when they did, they began to run some tests on him. And because of the area of his body that had been infected, or had been bitten by the shark, they discovered that he had a major disease ravaging his body. And it wasn't that the shark bite was a pleasant thing to go through, but what he said is that shark bite saved my life. That shark bite saved my life, because if I hadn't had that bite and I didn't go to the hospital and I didn't get it checked out, I wouldn't be alive today, because that disease would have killed me. And so I want to share with you that let's not live a life of cover up and conceal, but let's live a life of repentance and say, God, you know, I confess this. You want to read a passage of scripture that it keeps me repentant and it should keep you repentant, is this, is that he will proclaim from the rooftops the things that are displeasing. You know, that's not an exact quote, but the things that we do in secret shall be proclaimed from the rooftop. That's a better representation. There are some people who are trying to keep the secret so much that they don't realize that one day it's going to be broadcast across the rooftops. In the first century world, when you see something like that, you would have thought, well, what can they do? Somebody can go up on the roof and yell at the top of their voice. And you know, the sphere of influence is not going to be very, very effective. You know, a few neighbors might find out about it. You can move to a new city and make a new start. But in today's world, something can take place in China and we can find out about it in America in a matter of seconds. I have a person that I know, and they spoke correction into my life many, many years ago. Now, I want you to know that I have a different take on correction than many people do. It happened when I first moved to Florida. I was a minister when I came to Florida, even though I was selling shoes primarily. And things operated in Florida different than they did in the state that I came from. And the system that I used in that state wasn't the same system that they wanted me to use here in Florida. And so I found out I had to go to a meeting because of the level of credentials that I had. That was something new. And so I went to that. And when I went to that, that's when I found out that the standards in the district were different than the standards of the district that I came from before, as far as financial accountability and stuff like that. And and this person let me know in no uncertain terms that there needed to be correction in my life and in that aspect. So I walked out of that door, and I went and grabbed a friend of mine. I talked to him here just a few weeks ago, and I said, "Brother, I want you to know I just found out that this is an area of my life that is not in agreement with what I'm supposed to be doing. And so I give you permission that if I ever fail in this area again, I give you permission to kick my rear end." And I want you to know he's never had to kick me. he's never had to correct me in that. So I valued that person's correction very much, but and I made changes. You know, for when people of authority speak into my life, they speak correction, I listen and I apply. And so unfortunately that friend of mine had some secrets that was going on in his life that nobody knew about. Well, nobody that I knew about them. Other people knew about them, and he ended up having some uncleanness that was going on, and it wasn't dealt with. And I saw what those who walk in uncleanness, and seeing what that which is done in secret being broadcast across the rooftops, I saw what that looked like. And I tell you, if you've ever seen it, you'll never want to walk through that situation. Please, please do not try and cover up the sin. Please do not respond badly if there's somebody that says, "You know, brother, I think there may be an area of your life that is infected." Say, "Hey, you know, let's run some tests. Let's look to the Word of God. Let's examine it." Not everybody that criticizes you is going to be right, but there may be some people, especially if it's an authority in your life, if they come to you and say, "Let's examine this in the light of God's Word," we would be wise to take heed and do that. Because if not, those who walk according to the flesh, listen, we're not going to have time to pray here at the end of the program today, but those who walk according to the flesh and the lust of uncleanness, they're reserved for judgment. Let's make sure that we get forgiveness before judgment day. We'll see you Monday here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more.